With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington as well if you want to check us out on TV. Presented by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop and Eric Bickle. Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is our pal John Keim, covers the Redskins for ESPN.com. He broke the story of Jay Gruden being fired.
Congratulations, John. Nice little coup there for you.
Did Jay know the night before that he had, you know, when they told him to show up at 5?
Well, that's when you know for sure.
Yeah, he knew. He knew that. I would say that this was like a 90% certainty when you know. So yeah, he knew when he went to bed that what was almost assuredly going to happen.
Well, I don't know how he could have slept. You knew.
Yes, I knew.
So he had to have known.
Yes, he had to have known. Yes,
right.
And it was at that point it was more, it's basically like if you're dating someone in high school and say, you know, I need to call you, we have to talk. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I know what's happened. So that right. Yeah. So when he went to bed, it was just a formality the next morning.
Some people kind of insinuate, look, you know, if you're just an observer, I mean, we talked about it. I predicted 3 weeks ago it'll be after the Patriots game when they fire him. I mean, I could have been wrong, but it was pretty obvious that, you know, that would be the spot if they were going to make the move. But there was some insinuation from some people that even Jay knew basically 2 weeks ago that this was going to happen.
Well, he told me that he expected it almost after the Giants game.
Yeah.
And part of it is because there's a couple of reasons. One, well, I'd say a big reason was that there were a lot of rumors going on about it at that point. Mm-hmm. We all were hearing them. And listen, early in the year, earlier in the year, you'd started hearing things, and that's never a good sign. And you already knew he was on a hot seat. So then you combine all that, and you start to hear the rumors. And what really led him to believe that too is that nobody came to him and said, "Hey, Jay, don't."
You're fine.
To this. You're okay.
Yeah.
And not that they should or shouldn't have, but it was the tip off that, like, you know what, I'm in a bit of trouble here.
Yeah. Do you, John Keim, have a theory on the release of those videos with Jay Gruden?
No. No. I know. Here's, I guess, part of what I would say is, you know, and obviously this is where this becomes exhausting because you spend half a day, you know, you spend time on your supposed day off trying to figure this stuff out. And so I don't know that there's anything that they did. I mean, I know what the perception is. I don't know if it was just some bitter fan or angry fan or somebody who thought, oh, this guy's in the news. I have no idea. What I know is that people were like, well, did the Redskins do it? I don't know. I don't have that proof. But what I think is interesting in this isn't so much whether they did or didn't. It's that some people believe that they did, you know, or could have. But I don't have any proof to suggest that that was the case. And I'll say this, too. If they wanted to fire him, they didn't need to release those videos. The record is what it is.
Right.
Now, we can all point to other people's records in that building and say the same thing. But they have the power. This guy does not. So there's that. And there was also, you know, some people asked about, well, could they fire him with cause in that? Well, no. It was something that was, he's coming out of a bar on vacation. You know, there's no chance for that. So I don't know what the purpose would be. I mean, you could, you know, if you want to embarrass him. But again, the record is what it is. Like I said, I have no proof at all that came from anywhere but a fan.
Joined by John Keim, covers the Redskins for ESPN.com. So Bill Callahan takes over as the interim head coach. And I saw some reporting that some of the players were saying that the last few weeks with Gruden that things had gotten even more lax, that they hadn't been in pads for a couple of weeks. What can we expect differently with Bill Callahan as the head coach?
Yeah, and, you know, part of the pad stuff, too, is everybody, and I'm not, just to explain, not to excuse or anything like that, but they, you only get a limited number of times in pads during the season because of the CBA. This is a team that's always banged up, and one of the things that, you know, that if they were 3-2, I think what you'd be hearing is that, hey, Jay's taking care of our, taking care of us because, you know, bodies, people are banged up, et cetera, et cetera. Now, whether or not, you know, whatever, that's, you know, so that's part of it. But, and also, like, to me, guys, like, the practice stuff, people who focus on the pads, to me, it was always tempo. It was the tempo of practices. And one of the things I heard from a player, or actually, I'm a player's agent, and this is something his guy told him, is that he said that they went out to practice their 0-4, and there was no sense of urgency out there by anybody. And, you know, that's his opinion. Whether or not others agree with that, that was his opinion. So that, to me, is where some of the things have to change. And now Callahan is also the guy who would keep his group after practice longer than anybody else. The O-line is always out there working with him. He's very detailed. You know, and I spent part of the day talking to people who had played for him, know him well, and they talk about the detail he has in his preparation. So, you know, I think he's, you know, more of a no-nonsense guy, kind of. Now, having said that, his unit has been one of the ones that has been struggling this year. So
crazy.
You know,
yeah.
So, you know, it's a, but I think that those are some of the things that stand out for him. I think they talk about the detail and the preparation by him. And so we'll see if that makes a difference. Can you make a difference at this point? This isn't his program. This is a very, very, very difficult situation to come into. So even if you have all those qualities as a head coach, you got, you know, like, you have to establish that long before now. Now, maybe you can start to get to that point this year, but it's really hard to establish that when you know, if something's been going a certain way. Those are the qualities that he offers.
John, so how do we reconcile the notion that Bill is old school? He's said it, frankly. He wants to establish the run more. It's not a team that's been successful running the football. And then, by the same token, you have Kevin O'Connell calling plays, who's thought to be more of a new school guy. I don't even know how this makes sense. How does any of this work?
Well, I mean, the one thing, too, in talking to some people who, again, play for him and whatever, that even back when he was in Oakland, yes, he's like, you know, the view of him as this old school guy, he's a line coach and all that.
Yeah.
But then he also had games where, you know, you'd run the ball a lot, and then the next week you're throwing the ball a lot because that's what it required in that game.
Right.
So I'll be curious to see if that unfolds this way, if there's a – because the problem with the run game, I mean, that's been his design. The run game is Bill Callahan's design, and it has not been good. Now, that is it because of design? Is it because of execution? I think you can probably point to when you've been bad for several years with it, you can point to a number of factors. The blocking has not been good. The tight end blocking has been bad. So there's a lot of reasons for it, but that is what he was in charge of. So, you know, I'll be curious to hear, like, what is going to make it different? What would make it better? And I know some people there clearly would like to stick with it longer because some people's histories suggest that maybe they break off long runs after some short ones. But the other key in this is keeping the game close. They don't keep the games close. Mm-hmm. Then you can be more committed to the run game. So I'll be curious to see is it just a commitment thing? Are there different styles of runs that he like called? Even though, like I said, that was his design. But as far as how it mixes, it's going to have to – I don't know because here's the other thing. This week, Miami is bad against the run, and they're really bad against the pass. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could attack in multiple ways. It's a good week to say you want to be committed to the run game, though.
I guess you'll find out today when you see who's taking the first team in practice. But who do you expect to play? We know it's not going to be Haskins. Who do you expect, Case or Cole?
Right. I don't know because I found it interesting that he said he wanted to see how Keenum was. Colt McCoy didn't make – that was a brutal game the other day, and it wasn't like it was all on Colt McCoy, but he didn't exactly seize the job.
Underwhelming.
So, Yeah, very. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there was poor this, poor that, and poor everything. And so that's all on everybody there. So there, he did not make a strong case for the job. So it was interesting to me that he said he wanted to see how Keenum was. I think it might be McCoy. I don't really have a great feel for it. Because at least with Keenum in the first couple games, they moved the ball pretty well through the air at times. It was the mistakes that killed him. But that's been his kind of his career, and it's also been Colt's career. So I don't know.
Can I ask you this, John? Let me ask you this. If Case is healthy, okay, he's out of the walking boot and he practices, would Colt be the backup? In other words, would Haskins be inactive?
I would think so. And Callahan said that. He said he could be inactive. And I think he would have been inactive last week had Keenum been ready. And I think, you know, the one thing, it's funny because with Callahan saying that, there were times in the last couple weeks where it seemed like Jay Gruden would kind of keep it alive that, you know, well, maybe Dwayne's in the mix, and Callahan just kind of shot it down. It's like, this is what it is, and this is where we're going to go. I think that if Keenum is healthy and Colt is obviously healthy, that I would expect those two to be the guys active. But that's just right now, based on what he said the other day, I don't know that for sure.
All right, real quick, what do you think of the Mike Tomlin rumors?
It makes sense.
Any validity to them at all?
I think it makes sense that if Tomlin becomes available, then yes, I would think that they would pursue him. I mean, Dan Snyder seems to be very friendly with him. I believe their kids go to school together at Bullis. So I think there's a connection there. How strong that is, I don't know. I've also talked to people who know Tomlin well, who don't think that he would take a job here. I think it would be hard. I talked to someone yesterday who is rather prominent in this industry, and his comment was it's going to have to be someone who takes it here would have to be it would be the desperate or the daring. So I don't know if Tomlin fits in either one, but I know that there's a relationship there, and so I think that it would make sense, you know, that he would attempt to do that. Whether it's successful or not, I have a hard time seeing that one, but we'll see.
All right, John, appreciate the time as always. That's John Keim, covers
Thank
the
you,
Redskins
John.
For
Thanks,
ESPN.com.
Guys.
Remember, a little later in the show, Alan May is going to join us. We'll talk about the Caps. He'll join us at 8:20, and Brian Kenny as we talk Nats Dodgers Game 5 tonight from the MLB Network. He'll join us at 9 o'clock here on the Junkies.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington and as well. Huge game tonight. Game 5, NLDS, Nationals, Dodgers. And in the Washington Post, Barry Zwilluga has an interesting column and wanted to kind of kick it around about how the Nationals head into this game, and it's different from the past. He says they must embrace possibility, not fear failure. He writes, there's a different tenor to what awaits Wednesday night in the hills of Los Angeles. It has to do with this past week and this past season, the characters who are at the controls, and the status and psyche of the opponent. This time, the Nationals can view what's ahead as an opportunity to seize. The Dodgers, conversely, might see it as an implosion to avoid. Hmm. There's a glass half full or half empty element to what will transpire when Steven Strasburg takes the mound for Washington as the sun starts to set over the Pacific. Hmm. Darned if there isn't a lot of milk in this cup for the moment. And it is a different scenario. So in two of the three game fives that the Nationals have been in, they've been in three game fives with a chance to advance to the NLDS. Gio Gonzalez has been on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
And Gio, in those years, was solid, but he's not Steven Strasburg. So that's a big difference. Plus, they're on the road. So it feels like
there's
less pressure.
And they were at home in both of those game fives, right?
believe so.
Yeah.
And remember, Naki gave us that great stat that in Game 5 situations, what, in the NLDS? Maybe it's in both leagues.
No, it's just divisional series.
In divisional series, away teams are like 19-13, something like that.
Yep.
Which would go against conventional wisdom.
That's kind of surprising, yeah.
It just feels like there's less pressure on the Nationals. They're not expected to win. I saw on FS1, every one of the analysts pick the Dodgers to win it. So
today or to start the series?
No, I guess yesterday in the Game 5, whenever they were doing the analysis, or maybe it was right after Game 4, A-Rod, right. Dontrell Willis, the entire, is it Pedro Martinez? I get confused who's on which network.
Pedro's on MLB Network.
Yeah, the four guys there, whoever's doing it with A-Rod, Dontrell Willis, the other two, they all picked the Dodgers. Everybody expects the Dodgers based on 106 wins. So similar to the years of the past when the Nationals have been the favorite, the Nationals have won the division, the Nationals were expected to win the World Series. That's what's expected of the Dodgers. So the pressure's on them. And then just simply looking at Gio in those seasons was really good. In 2012, he had a 2.89 ERA. Mm-hmm. In 2017, he had a 2.96 ERA. He was really good. But his combined effort in those two elimination games, 8 innings, 8 hits, 6 runs, 8 walks, 10 strikeouts. Now you're going with Strasburg, who's been unbelievable in this playoff run already, with 14 strikeouts, a 167 batting average against. He's given up just 5 hits, 1 run. That's all he's given up so far in the playoffs.
Well, he's been lights out.
So it feels different. We want to hear from you. Do you think it feels different? 800-636-1067. Do you buy into what Barry Svrluga's writing about? That they can embrace possibility, not fear failure. That the Dodgers are in that position where if they lose, it's an implosion.
Well, that's been the thinking all along, is that the pressure is on the Dodgers in this whole series, not just Game 5. It's been that way the entire series.
And then with Strasburg on the mound, I mean, Gio was a good pitcher in those seasons and was a good pitcher for the Nationals, but I don't think you ever had confidence in Gio to the extent that you have confidence in Strasburg.
No. Again, I'm not worried about Strauss. I know that Strauss is going to be good to great tonight. He'll be good to great, I would assume. It's going to be, can our bats come up big? Can we get on base? Can we get some early rallies going? Can we put some numbers on the board early and maybe even knock Buehler out, you know, after maybe 4 innings or something like that? Can we get his pitch count up? Can we knock him out? Now, be careful what you wish for, because then Kershaw's coming in. But he hasn't been the same Clayton Kershaw.
And they got to him. Yeah. Earlier this series.
Yeah, so I mean, I think Strauss is going to be fine. It's a huge upgrade over Gio. I do believe that the moment and the pressure and all that is on the Dodgers. And then you throw in the fact that the Nats have just been so resilient all year. Every time you want to count them out, every time you think Davey's about to get fired or there's going to be a wholesale change or something, they go on a run or they come back in a game. And they've done it time and time again. Great opportunity for him to cement the legacy of this team tonight. It's all laid out there for him. They just have to come up
with
big.
But do you have a vibe?
I mean, my vibe is negative. My vibe is they're the underdog. But I think that Strauss will be great. It'll be good to great. I think Strauss will be fine. I don't think it's going to be an issue of, Strauss went out there and got tattooed. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be an issue of, did our guys hit or not?
Yeah.
If they hit, I think we can win the game. Phone if it's numbers. A 4-3, 3-2, 2-1 game, I don't like us.
Phone number is 800-636-1067. Are you buying into the Nationals embracing possibility, the Dodgers having all the pressure, that this being different because it's not Gio, it's on the road, it's not at home where they felt the pressure? I mean, you normally would think you'd want to be at home, but the history of the Nationals in Game 5s is at home, they're not winning.
I didn't realize this until I read this in Barry's column. I didn't realize the Dodgers actually have the biggest stadium in Major League Baseball. Did you know that? 50,000 is the largest.
56,000.
That's the largest. Yeah. Is it 56? I thought I read 50.
56,000.
Yeah, 56,000.
Well, I mean, it's an old stadium. Yeah, I mean,
I didn't know they held that many. And I didn't know that was the
it
largest.
It won't be filled, though.
No, it probably won't be filled.
Especially at the start of that game.
But I know that in...
Can you imagine what traffic's going to be like in L.A. at 5:40 p.m.?
No.
Out there?
But I know when the game's on the line, that place will be loud. It was damn loud earlier in the series.
I think it's going to come down to the little things in this game. Obviously, I think Strasburg's going to play well, but and yes, they're going to have to hit. But it's also when you hit. You know, you don't need 15 hits and 7 runs, but if you have guys on second and third with one out, you need a sac fly. If you got guys on first and second with nobody out, you got to advance them somehow. You can't have pop-ups and strikeouts. It's when you hit. I mean, the Cardinals and the Braves have been god-awful with runners in scoring position in their series. Yeah. You should see the numbers. And it's also how Davey manages, you know, moving guys over. It's going to come down to little things like that. And of course, you have to play clean defense.
I don't like us. See, well, I think it's going to – the little things do matter, but we need a lot of those little things and probably a 3-run bomb somewhere so we can get 6 or 7.
Yeah,
see,
nice.
I think we need 6 or 7.
But if you buy into your resilient theory –
they are resilient. They're not going to lay down.
I would be surprised.
They've already proven to me that they're resilient.
I would be surprised.
This is not a litmus test for it.
If they get beat 8-1, I would be surprised if they get beat 8-1 or 7-0.
I would be surprised, too. So I think it's unlikely to happen.
I mean, Bueller was lights out in game one. He was money.
Yeah.
All right, but I would be surprised if that happens.
But Jason, I looked at his.
I know you looked at the game log.
His game log, and there, you know, sometimes it's heck in September, he gave up 6 runs, 2 runs, 4 runs, 2 runs. So, you know, every other time, you know, he gave up a bunch of runs. In July, he had outings where he gave up 7 runs and 6 runs. In August, he gave up 5 runs one outing. In June, he gave up 7 runs. He gave up 5 and 4 in 2 different outings in May. So, I mean, he can have bad outings.
But in his most recent start, he gave up 1 hit and no runs.
All right, so maybe he's due for a poop.
Well, let's hope.
All right, let's go to
you're right, bro.
I'm predicting a loss, but I'm trying to give a scenario where it can happen. And the scenario is where they get to Bueller. Let's go to Edward. Oops, I'm sorry. I got Abraham. Hey, Abraham. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Love you guys. Can't wait to see you guys Sunday. Yeah, just wanted to say this year does feel different with this team. It just feels like every bounce is going our way. Like that Peterson foul ball with the bases loaded was like 6 inches foul. That's usually the stuff that bounces their way. Or like Davey choosing to go with the matchup in game two. That's a decision that would have come back to haunt us in the past, but it worked out. Zim home run, like when the wind started killing it right after he hit that. So I just feel like stuff is going our way, and we're going on our revenge tour like the Caps did a couple of years ago.
I hope you're right. So, by the way, I just read something, maybe, you know, if you buy into like the psychological things, reading this article in the Los Angeles Times where they said that actually the clubhouse of the Dodgers had plastic and black tape ready to go for celebration.
Well, the Nats did that too.
I would think that's normal.
It is kind of normal, but it's annoying.
It's a little bit of an insult. Like they're ready to go to celebrate in your park.
I think it's standard. The Nats did that. Remember, they complained.
I know.
They complained. They didn't like that. But what are you going to do? They got to protect. I mean, it takes time to protect the lockers.
Yeah, I mean, it would take an hour. Are you going to wait an hour for them to celebrate? Right. Yeah, I think that's pretty normal.
Let's go to Edward in Bladensburg. But it'd be nice to have them not be able to use it. Edward, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? I thank you guys and all the Nats to go ahead and get that champagne ready tonight because it's time to end this streak, just like the Capitals ended that streak, like the last caller said. But I'm going to bring this up. Do you guys remember the 2014 Kansas City Royals? They weren't supposed to be there. That the wild card game in D.C. had the same feeling, right? Kansas City had to come back in that game during their time. So did we. They weren't supposed to be in the ALDS. They were. We're not supposed to be in the NLDS because people wrote us out when we were 19 and 31. We're here. It has that same feeling that when you're not supposed to be somewhere and you're there, okay, it's just a magical run. And I think it's our time. Since we're not at home, and it's a watch party, just like the Capitals had, they know that the fans are going to be there to watch them. And they're going to, I think Anthony Rendon, this is the game. I think he gets to Walker Buehler, and he hits that 3-run bomb that shuts the whole crowd up, but has that entire dugout going crazy. And I think that's going to be the difference. And I think he's a player maybe that will knock out Walker Buehler and send Davey Roberts to the bullpen early. And think about this. Davey has already had to use his bullpen way more than Martinez, which is crazy. So I think this is a game where you think Strasburg will go like 7, and then you surprise you bring in Anibal Sanchez, who had a good game against them, and a Max Scherzer to close it out. This is our year. It's done. It's over with. I'm tired of L.A. I want it to be Rays and Nationals score. Two teams who are not supposed to beat these high-powered, high-win teams in the World Series this year.
Great call. Thank you, Edward. Appreciate it, buddy. Great call. I like the enthusiasm.
By the way, Jason was talking about runners left on base in the Cardinals-Braves. Do you realize in the last game, the Dodgers left 15 runners on base and the Nationals left 14 runners on base?
Yeah, there were a lot.
I mean, that's a ton.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to have timely hitting, no doubt. Just telling you, it's the little things that count when you're going to play a tight, low-scoring game, because that's what tonight's going to be.
Well, then we're doomed. Again, that's
Jason, doomed. He's got Strauss on the mound.
I think they can win the game.
Doesn't matter. Strauss could deliver, be great. He's not going to close it out.
He could deliver a 1-0 win.
And then our bullpen's going to blow it.
Why? He could go 8, and you go to Hudson for 1.
It's a lot of pressure. I don't like it. I think we need to win by multiple runs. We got to win by 3 or 4 runs. That's the only way I see it. Let's go to John in Fredericksburg. John, what's up?
Hey, guys, great show as usual. So I'm a Mets fan from New York, long time, been down here for a while. But I'll tell you what, I feel like the Nats are hitting their peak, they're hitting their stride. They got a great shot in this one, and I think that's all going to boil down, like you said, to pitching, right? I mean, Strasburg's incredible right now. He's having a great year, great playoff. You know, the other guy's incredible, too. So as you guys said, it may come down to the bullpen. That's what it's going to come down to.
Well, that's trouble. I hate that then.
I know. And I think the hitting, you know, if they can get to this guy on the Dodgers early, that's going to put a hell of a lot of pressure on the Dodgers. I mean, they've got pressure as it is. They know that they're the team that's
right.
The favorite.
Right.
The underdog's in the seat, man. And I think that they've got, if they can get to him early, I think they can do it. But the bullpen's going to have to hold up if they get behind, for
well,
sure.
They're certainly capable of doing it. But here's what's scary about it. They're hitting .219 in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
.219 in the playoffs. And Rendon got a few hits here in the last game, but he'd been fairly quiet in the playoffs so far.
Yes.
So, I mean, Rendon needs to play better than he has to date in the playoffs.
800-636-1067. Rendon, who is the Nationals MVP, hasn't done anything. Bellinger hasn't done anything for the Dodgers.
Nope.
I mean, I love Juan.
I mean, he hit 47 home runs, I think, in the regular season.
Yeah, and he's a pest, too, man. They got up and down their lineup, they just got guys who can beat you. But the Nats were very fortunate, and I said this after Game 4, that they were facing Rich Hill. Because Rich Hill had an arm injury, for most of the year, and he'd only pitched a few innings since June 20th, I think. And they were able to – they knew he was on a pitch count. And they were able to get to him early, get to the bullpen early, and that's when they started hitting the ball, and they got 13 or 14 hits, whatever it was. But now you're going against the real deal. It gets real tonight.
All right, 800-636-1067. Bang out your calls when we get back. Do you like the Nats tonight? Is the pressure on the Dodgers? Are the Nats going to finally break through? We'll bang out your calls when we come back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington talking about Game 5 of the NLDS. Nationals have Steven Strasburg on the mound. He's been fantastic in the playoffs. One start against the Dodgers, of course, came in in relief against the Brewers in the wild card game. Through nine innings, has allowed just five hits, one run, zero walks, 14 strikeouts. He's been dominant.
I'm nervous that I'm taking Stras for granted, but I kind of am. I think he's going to be good to great tonight. But again, I don't want to beat a dead horse. It's about the bats. So far, I love Juan Soto. He's got one huge tater and four other hits. That's it. I mean, three other hits. He's hitting a combined 222. Adam Eaton's hitting 200, right? Howie Kendrick, who hit, what did he hit this year? 330?
340.
He's hitting 278. Our catchers are combined over.
I know what you're talking about.
We don't have any
hits.
About
4 games.
Yeah.
Five games.
And it's the playoffs. That's what happens.
Playoffs.
Okay.
You kind of do the same thing with the Dodgers. Like I said, Cody Bellinger, who basically hit a home run, if you just do the math, every three games, has got a couple of singles.
Yeah, it's look, you're facing some really good pitching.
Right.
No, but I think overall they're hitting better than we are. I'm going to confirm it right now.
Feasted against the bullpen. Yes.
They're not hitting much better. They're hitting 228. We're hitting 219.
And it's playoff baseball.
Well, if it comes down to two teams don't hit and you're going to your bullpens, we're going to lose that game. We're going to lose it.
Not if you're up 1-0 or 2-1. You think they're going to lose a game 3-2 and the bullpen's going to blow it?
No, I think we could win 5-1. We could win 5-1. That's what it has to be. We have to score runs.
Actually, I can believe because you tend to lean negative. But he's so negative for a guy who was railing against negative tweets. People who were counting out the Nats.
Yeah.
And like well, day look, after day, he comes in here and says, I'm not
going
to win.
If you're right and the skin or the Nats lose, then you got $114 bucks coming to
you. I don't want
them
to lose. I know, that's true. I don't want them to lose. I want them to win. I'm just saying the way to win is we have to pound it. We have to score a ton of runs.
There's a lot of ways to win.
We're not going to win a 2-1-er.
Why not?
Because we don't have the bullpen. They
you
get
have
to us every
Steven
time.
Strasburg on the mound. He could go 7 or 8 innings, and they have Hudson.
Hudson's,
who could shut it down.
Hudson's good. Let's not act like he's
freaking. I'm not
freaking,
saying he's Mariano Rivera.
Yeah, Mariano
and
Rivera.
And even Mariano Rivera.
He's the best option they
he's
got.
He's the best they got.
And even Mariano Rivera lost games in a World Series.
All right, let's go to some of these calls. Eric has established they're going to lose the game 3-2.
No, unless it's
I haven't said that.
You said if it's a close game, we're going to lose.
If it's close, we're going to lose.
Well, it's going to be a close game. The skin,
so you're ruling out the chance that it could be.
The Nats aren't going to score 5 or 6 off of Buehler.
He's done that several times this year.
The odds are stacked against
I'm more optimistic than you because I think they can get to Buehler, possibly. Not predicting they will.
I would be surprised.
But it's possible.
I hope you're right, but I would be surprised.
I think they can get to Buehler and Kershaw.
I think they can get to Kershaw, too.
Like
but
if Buehler gives up a couple runs early, they go to Kershaw in the fourth inning, they score a couple more runs against him. There's
I think that's the route. Look, at the end of the day, I think they have maybe a 40% chance. But I think that's the route. You might think they have a 40% chance about winning 2-1. I think they have a 40% chance winning 7-2.
It would be huge if they can get up to a 3-0 lead, you know, 2-0
and then build
lead.
On it, though. I don't like a 3-0 lead and then just sit on it because that won't do it.
In a perfect world.
Look, it's baseball. I think it's more than likely going to be a lower scoring tight game. But they won the last game 6-1. They could do that again.
That's the way to win this. Ted, what's up?
That's because
hey,
Rich
what's
Hill
up,
started.
Junkies? How y'all doing this morning?
Hey,
Ted.
What's up?
So, historically, playoffs, it's all about pitching. I mean, you look at especially who the Nats have been throwing out there, who the Dodgers have. I mean, that's why both offenses struggle. I mean, you look at what especially the Yankees just did to the Twins, who set the Major League record for home runs in a season. They just dispatched them in 3 games because they got the pitching to back it up. So, I mean, you look at World Series teams. That's what the Achilles heel of the Nats has been. The last times they were in the postseason, they didn't have the pitchers backing up. Strasburg was injured. They didn't have Corbin. So, I mean, I definitely think you got the best pitcher going tonight. Strasburg's nails the last 2 months. And as a Giants fan, I hope you guys take out the Dodgers because it's been wonderful watching them lose in the World Series, but it'd be even better to watch them lose
in the
first round.
What's your prediction?
You know what? I think Nats pull it out probably like a 5-2. Is sort of what I'm thinking.
That'd be perfect. That would work. I could see that scenario. That works under my scenario.
Just
nice
be prepared,
3-run lead.
Be prepared to go to bed about 12:15.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be brutal.
But actually, if they win, you're probably going to stay up and
I thought
watch.
You said it starts a little earlier. What time does it start?
It's 8:40.
8:40. Okay, 5:30.
I would assume it's going to go at least 3 hours.
It's earlier than that 9:37 start in game two.
Let's go to Kenny in Leesburg. Kenny.
Morning, guys. How's everybody?
Hey, okay.
Good. Hey, you know, I was just thinking about our slogan there. It's been stay in the fight. And seems kind of passive for this last game. I think we need to dominate the fight, win the fight, do something. Stay in the fight seems to be let the Dodgers take the first couple swings. We really need to get on top early.
It's a
motto. The first couple blows and end this thing.
It's a motto they adopted in the regular season.
Well, last time we got all aggressive, we swung at 20 pitches out of the zone. I think they have to be a little more patient this go around. I think.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Scott in Chantilly's. Hey, Scott, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, I think Scherzer and Strasburg have the same philosophy. They always go deep into counts. They're always full count, 2-2. They're trying to paint corners. And I said if Scherzer can possibly go 7 innings, we'll have this. And it's the same with Strasburg. If he can keep – Scherzer had 70 pitches after the 5th inning, and
which
I said
huge.
He can make 7.
Yeah.
And if Strasburg can keep his pitch count down a little bit,
yeah,
he's the man. I've always said better pitching beats better batting. These guys' average is lower because they're facing the best.
Yeah.
Scott,
I have all the faith in Strasburg. Go 6 or 7 and let our bullpen only have to deal with 2.
Scott, you're going to be up late tonight, buddy.
I am every night. Have a good night. Have a good day.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. Let's go to, Aziz.
By the way, if they win game 5, who's bringing the cocktails in tomorrow? You got to celebrate advancing.
It's champagne.
Well, either way, yeah. I mean, someone's got to celebrate.
Adam. It's Adam's job.
Adam, okay.
Yeah. Champagne. Aziz, what's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to talk about expectation and possibilities. If you guys go back to last week, everybody was talking about, hey, what are the expectations of this team? What is considered a success for this team for the season? And I think we all agreed that, hey, they're already a success by making it through the wild card game and winning that game. So there is no pressure on the Nats tonight. I think the boys need to go relax, play a good game, have fun, and I think the possibilities will open up. I think we're going to bring it home tonight. If those guys go there, relax, enjoy the game, and I think it's going to be a 5-2, 6-3 type of game tonight.
Well, what did he say the score was?
5-2 or 6-2.
Well, I like that. That's how we win. I'm with you.
And I don't mind staying up late, and I will bring the cocktails in the morning.
All right, bring
it. All right, you bring them too. We'll drink those also.
Yep.
We won't turn anything down. 800-636-1067. What do you see tonight? Do the Nats finally break through? Let's go to Tony in Waldorf. Hey, Tony. What's up, man?
Hey guys. How's it going today?
Hey.
I got a couple minutes, but a second. But here's the deal. I feel no pressure at all. And this is the first time I can say that. You know, you expect the doom and gloom. I don't feel that. I was at that wild card game last week, and I didn't feel it at all. Even when we were down 3-0. I just have a feeling about this team, and I think Soto and Rendon are going to come through. I'm not making any predictions, but I agree with Jason that they got to do all the little things, bunting people over, sacrificing, making the smart plays, no mental miscues. Thank you guys for taking my call.
Well, who could argue that? Of course they got to do all that. We can't have Howie Kendrick have some base-running blunder. We actually can't have Howie Kendrick making 3 errors in the game either.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. I'm starting to get a vibe.
Of course they got to do the little things.
I mean, it makes sense to me that the Dodgers are favored at home and the Nationals only
and
mustered.
And they won 106 games.
And the Nationals only mustered 1 hit against Walker Buehler. But starting to get a vibe.
Is he going to do that again? Is he going to 1-hit us again? I'm going to say no.
This is a tingle. I think they might get to Buehler early and then roll.
Then you're in my scenario. We score a bunch of runs.
Well, no, you're still going to have a battle because it's a 9-inning game, but
I think Buehler might be due. He's not going to pitch another 1-hit.
He just brought up Rendon and Soto. So Rendon and Soto know what Buehler has, and it's fast and it's great stuff, but these are great hitters. They're going to be ready.
He's also, as you mentioned, I think, he's only 25 years old.
Yeah.
He's only making, I think, his 62nd career start, I think.
Well, almost seems too casual about it. Here's one of his quotes. I think that anybody's going to feel pressure. I think it's more about what you do with it. And, I guess that in some ways it's good.
Well,
he was talking about having fun.
What do you want him to say? He's confident. There's no one more confident than that kid.
Well, I'm sure Rendon and Soto are confident too.
Yeah, I mean, you got to put good at bats together. Don't swing at bad pitches. Make them earn it. That's what it comes down to.
All right, 800-636-1067, banging out your calls. Let's go to David in Dale City. Hey, David, what's up, man?
Gentlemen, there's 3 things that metrics don't show, and that's confidence, luck, and calmness. And to me, the Nats show a confidence. They don't brag. They just go out and they seem to be very confident. They seem to be very calm. They don't seem to be nervous. And they're also getting a little bit of luck. And like the Caps did a few years ago, where the puck just finally bounced the right way. And, you know, Kuznetsov is just there at the right time to beat the Penguins. That, you know, Holtby makes the save. You know, it's kind of like the other night, you know, a little bit of rain, a little bit of wind, and that ball doesn't quite go out. And, you know, it feels like all the little things, the little pieces are kind of coming together. I don't know if they win or lose, but I just have this feeling that tonight it'll kind of like slay that dragon.
Man, it does feel different. I will say, bringing up the Caps, though, I remember the last few years before they won the Stanley Cup, I remember when they would get to elimination games, I would always go, they're due, it feels different, and then it ended up in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to say beforehand,
don't
it feels
set yourself
different
up.
Because with the Capitals.
You know how much money I've lost
different
on tingles
right
and feelings all the time. I thought the Skins were going to beat the Bears. I really did. I thought they were going to beat the Giants.
I know.
Giants made sense. The Bears didn't make much sense.
I just disrespected the
Bears.
Yeah,
but the problem is you had tingles on a bad team. The Nats are a good team.
They are a good team. They're a damn good team. And I love them, and I think that I'm not going to say that the whole season was a waste and it was just like all the others, because I do think that their resiliency and the specialness of this team is something that we're going to remember for several years, regardless of who they win or lose.
It doesn't make it a waste, but the reason why I say it'll be the same, if they lose in Game 5, and then they get back to the playoffs next year, or whenever they get back to the playoffs, we're going to say, well, they've been here four times instead of three times
and
in an
lost
elimination game, and they're 0-4.
Eventually, they have to break through.
That's
we may be
theory
dead, but eventually right they're going to break through.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Huge game tonight. Steven Strasburg on the mound for the Nationals. Walker Buehler for the Dodgers in Game 5. Is this year different for the Washington Nationals? We'll take more of your calls at 800-636-1067.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.